Excuse me, what is there, that name again?
Cosmo Day.
Cosmo Day?
My name is Day.
Glenn.
Cosmo Day.
Cosmo Day.
Yes, sir.
I pray you forgive me that I do not manifest as well.
You don't know that.
Quite a complicated procedure. The method of manifest. Difficulties on our side, and mistakes are doing yours. There are so few, unfortunately, in your spiritualistic circles who seem to have any real aspiration in the future. I know that I do not want to cause any alarm. I would give this warning. That in my opinion, it's very unwise for so many of these souls in your world sitting in their circles to sit in the fashion in which they often do, so that they learn how to danger or the burden about their many earthbound souls of a low order who are only too anxious to take advantage and to distort. And in fact, I consider it highly dangerous to tamper with these things. By that I mean that when you sit in a group or a circle in your own home, wherever it may be, that you approach it in the right manner, in a truly spiritual way, and that you should aspire to the highest possible, that you might contact those who can love flesh and help you. And I have been to many of these sessions, these doubts, as you call them, and I realize them too well how dangerous they can be, that they are conducted in a true spiritual manner.
When you were on Earth, were you the Archbishop Canterbury?
Some time ago. But we don't want to discuss that. We do not mind.
No. May I ask you something?
What is it?
May I ask how you found yourself, where you found yourself when you passed over, and your reaction? If you wouldn't mind.
When I became conscious of my new state of being, naturally, like so many others who come before, I was surprised. Some people can know what one really did expect. I suppose my religious upbringing and my knowledge within the church's teachings, and my studies in regard to the Bible and philosophy and other religions and so on, I suppose really I expected some kind or form of life in which I should find opportunity to serve God, and I should find those around me about me of life thoughts and interests. But next year I suppose I had in the same scenario religious conviction for these things. I realized many things, of course, which I thought were factual and truth, not necessarily so. I realize, of course, now that do the things which I please, but really not so exact. When you find to the station of time, but the obscure truth, that is the simple truth, the Jiva gave the world, Dhamma, greed, which of course was so part of my life, I realized were non-important God. But a man is no more after death than he was before, in the sense that he is the person, the character, the system. But fundamentally I was more than a spiritual being. So when I came here, to be state, these material instincts, I suppose you call them, which is iron, soon set there. And I did not feel as an angel in such culture, the need for certain physical things. To me it did not matter. It was no concern. In fact, you would think it was a relief to know that I didn't have to bother about this or about that anymore. I was willing, in other words, to shape my head and its desires and its needs. And I was happy to find myself in an environment among people that I had known and friends who had passed many years before, and certain relations and friends and so on over here, all there to close together. I soon realized, of course, why this may be. I was relieved to find that it was so real and so natural. Of course, it was in many ways different to what one might have anticipated when one thinks back to the early teachings that I had, my background, done. But then again, towards the end of my life, I changed a great deal of my stronger view. And I think I was much more open in many ways to receive the knowledge. But of course, as speechless was concerned, I was very much afraid of it. I was afraid that it could undermine the church and probably even destroy it. And I wasn't sure that it had very much to offer. It was good. Of course, many of these ideas I've now changed. But I still think there are dangers in spiritualism. I do feel very strongly that it is a thing that is so vital, so important, that all people should be conscious and know of it. But I do feel it is dangerous if it is used in the wrong sense. In other words, I feel that it is important that colleges or societies should be organized, where each one could be trained in a proper manner, where they could be shortened and fit, where they can be released from all earthly worries and anxieties, where they can follow out a vocation, as it were, make this leadership and a vocation, the same as one goes into ministry, gives up his whole life to it and his friend, and sets his whole self apart from the world, and yet is of the world and serves the world, and yet is on a higher spiritual vibration. Because if you are to contact the highest forces, the good forces, those who can take the world, those who can uplift mankind, you must take each one's world like mind and of like thought. And as I said, it seems to me that many of these instruments are of a very unfortunately low order. By that I don't want to think I condemn far from it. I am anxious to help all, of course. I do feel the only way that which should turn spiritualism is best in its right perspective, when it is used and applied in the right way, when it has the instruments who are of a higher mental and spiritual level, who will give up all in true service to God, living upon themselves as mere instruments of His divine power to serve the children of the earth. Until there is that feeling of desire for self-sacrifice, to give up all in service, to tune in to the highest and the finest that can come through now well. And it seems to me, while you are, as it were, only scratching the surface of the actual world, on which 90% of your influence seems to be doing, then it is not only bad, but it can even be dangerous. Because light can attract light. Both the lower entities, while are found through thinking or acts, can come through and use instruments, and also through instruments, speak to people and tell people things which are not true, and those two be the cause of much unhappiness, much misery. If you could see as I have seen, there is no mentality and entities haunting various places in your world. I mean, for instance, to take some of those who you call beauty, some of those who are in places to the past, for those whose mental condition is such, they are often controlled or used by no forces, no entities. You see, there are many who in your world are unconscious mediums. And if those in charge, for instance, in certain institutions where the insane are placed, understood these things, these tools of communication, many of those patients could be rid of the infection, even if in the time of Jesus, when he released those who were obsessed by the devil. So the use of this patience is very much in your world in certain instances. Little bad things can be the dangers of these challenges can be, which you can be obsessed by entities who will distort you and distort truth, who will get your falsehood and mislead your spirit and thought, that when you speak, you should always conduct yourself in the right state, in the right fashion, that you should first approach God, not only when you sit in prayer, but also in your life, which is even more important. For it is useless to sit for an hour to pray and look in yourselves, in your daily lives, in those who make it a living in prayer, in thought and in action. That is why I've said so much on this, that it is as vital as I see it, that the Church, if it is to live, if it is to do the work which it is designed to do centuries ago, when in the early days of this, the teachers, the prophets, we used, we never controlled by high souls to give forth teachings from the earliest times. When one realizes the foundation of the Church and the tremendous power which it has, and I'm not talking of material power, I'm talking of spiritual power, when one compares the early Church with the Church of today, one is very conscious of the fact that it has gone very far adrift from its original teaching, its original spiritual force for good. I know there are sincere and good souls in all religious organizations and bodies who strive to do their utmost to spread the gospel and the teachings of Jesus, and endeavor in their own lives to show the path that Jesus laid down for them to tread. But nevertheless, I see now the Church in a fruitless state. I realize its fault. I realize how and when and where it went wrong and strayed and fell from the simple path that Jesus prepared. I realize that I can see what you can, spiritualism, there is much that is good that can come. In fact, it is obviously the essence of the early Church, the early Christians who gathered together and who were possessed of the power of the Lord and who overcame the flesh and gave up all to follow Jesus. I know that if this great and glorious truth were proclaimed, and if it were demonstrated and made manifest in the true sense, the whole world would be changed. Man would be reunited with God, and great souls and great forces would come to your aid, to uplift and to guide you, and to make possible a path of righteousness and truth for all people, irrespective of class or color or creed. That is the reason why we return to you, that we might, in some measure, make you conscious of your great inheritance, and also make you conscious of your great responsibility one to another. Those of you who know of this great truth of communication and what it can mean and what it can achieve when properly undercover.
Yes? A moment ago,
when properly understood and applied in the lives of all, we who come to you, you must remember that we come from all conditions and classes of being, and that if you aspire, we can reach to you, and we can unite with you and make, as it were, a bridge over which we can travel closer to you, and we can commune, and we can guide and uplift and inspire you. But there are so many in your world that have already said, who know of this truth in part, but who are content with the outward show, who are content with the materialistic aspect of these things, and are little or not concerned at all with the real spiritual one. That's why to me, when you refer to spiritualism, it seems as though, how can it be spiritual when there's so little spiritual in it? I have been to many of your meetings and churches and seances, and with all due respect, I do feel that I'm right in saying there's so little that is spiritual. I realize the crying need of people in your world for comfort when they are saddened by the loss that they turn into someone dear and dear to them. It is natural that they need proof. And I know only too well that proof is given and will always be given where the need is great. But how few there are who, when they have received that proof, when they have received that conviction, how few there are who endeavor to put into their lives this great realization that must come with such demonstration or experience. How content they are to go on in the same old way, living selfishly unto themselves, concerning themselves only more or less with material things, what they can achieve in a material sense. How few there are who are prepared to take upon themselves the cross of Christ and sacrifice, if necessary, themselves for the good of the world. How many are they who, when it comes to it, will make any sacrifice for truth's sake? My friend, until the Christ Spirit comes into the spiritualist movement, there can be no advancement in a spiritual sense. And by the Christ Spirit, I mean the power and the love and the knowledge of God and His wisdom and His way and His power for His children. And when I talk about the Christ Spirit, believe me, I do not refer to it in a narrow sense. I do not refer to it in a sense that can be applied in a dogmatic way. I am not referring to creeds and dogmas and all the things that appertain to orthodoxy. I am referring to Christ in the sense of the spiritual, consciousness and awareness. For if we follow Him, and when I refer to Him, I refer to that which He demonstrated as the Son of the Divine Father. Remembering that He came into the world to do His Father's business. Realizing that He was human, as you are human, suffering the same degrees and more so the things of the flesh. Realizing that He was physically and human there, the same as each one of you, but possessed as you are with the divine spark. But realizing that He was a son of God, as you are sons of God also. He did not come that He might be proclaimed a king among men. His kingdom, as He said, was not of the earth, but was of the spirit. He was not concerned with material things as such. He was concerned with human beings, that they might find through love and sacrifice, if necessary, the path back to the Divine Parent, back to God. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That has been very misinterpreted over the centuries, and has been the foundation of a lot of dogma. A lot of mistakes have been brought into being because of the misinterpretation of those words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did He mean? He obviously meant that it was in following His footsteps, in other words, becoming like unto Him, sacrificing the physical aspect of things, realizing the spiritual power and grace that dwells within all man, in developing that and thinking of the things of the spirit and overcoming the flesh in consequence, that is the way of the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, in me, in following me, in following what I do, in endeavoring to become like unto me, that is the way of salvation. Jesus had no concern with material things as such. He was concerned with the spiritual aspect of man. The material aspect was of no consequence. Reasons were obvious why He was crucified, by those around Him about Him who see Him perform what the world terms miracles, who see Him do great things, were yet dissatisfied because He did not save them in a material sense. Jesus was not concerned with saving mankind in a material sense. He was concerned in saving them in a spiritual one. And when He gave His life on the cross, it was done and was permitted because it was the only way, obviously, in which He could convince and bring into being the realization that the earth, we think, is our physical consequence. It is of the spiritual that He was concerned. That to overcome the flesh and to give up all, to sacrifice all, if necessary, for the things that are of God. And so we should know He reappeared after death and gave conviction and founded, although I am convinced He did not come to found a religion as the world now turns or understands it, but He came to show a path of righteousness and of truth. If He had not returned from the dead, there would be no Christian faith. But nevertheless, as I see it and realize it now, I understand, I feel sure, with a greater realization of wisdom, with a greater certainty, the reasons and the purpose of the life of Jesus. And I am convinced that when we strive to follow Him and become like unto Him, irrespective of what religion we may or may not have, You can forget and discard all our creeds and dogmas and make ourselves simple like unto Jesus. And in simplicity we shall find wisdom, and in wisdom we shall find the path, and the path shall bring us nearer to our divine parent, our Creator, to follow Him, take upon ourselves His path, and to realize that in love and in service we find ourselves.